Good morning. Happy New Year. We were glad to have you back, glad that you're here, glad to be experiencing a new year together, glad to be able to sing to God this Sunday and worship Him and give Him honor for taking us through another year. I don't know how your year was. My year was good and bad, and things I would like to change, but couldn't, and things I'm glad went the way they did. But I thought they weren't going to work out, and so I'm just praising God today for His strength and His power in my life, and I'm confident in faith and have faith that it's going to be the same this year. God is always good. Circumstances, but there is a lot of bad things. Don't have somebody tell you that you should call it good. Well, it's not. If the Bible says it's not, all right? It's not good. God works all things, even the bad things, together for good. And that's, I think, going to be one of my theme verses this year, and the power of God working in our lives. I'm going to ask you if you would open your Bibles with me to the book of what was I going to say here? Colossians. I sort of say Corinthians. My Bible's open in the wrong place. Colossians chapter 3. We are in a study in the book of Revelation, and we are going to be putting one of those verses up on the screen in just a minute, but we are still in the midst of it. Probably have one more Sunday until we're done, and then we'll be starting a different series together in a couple of weeks. But today we need to look at a special verse here in Revelation, and our majority of reading this morning is going to be out of the book of Colossians. That's the reason why I've got you turned there. This, of course, is the new year. Things are new. How many of you are wearing new stuff? Of course, Christmas was last week, and this week's new year, so you got any new stuff? You're wearing new stuff? New underwear, anyone? Watches, rings, jewelry, anything new. Some of you may be even wearing the new stuff. You got something new and you took it back last week and now you have another, it's new again. Anybody have one of those? Some of you are real good about getting it turned in and like to hit the shopping days whenever you can and that kind of thing. Shopping, I mean, new stuff is just, it's just that time of year. Some of you are in a new place. This is your first time back to the island in a long time. Glad to see your faces here again this winter. Time to make new resolutions like we talked about to the kids, new commitments. I heard about a guy who, this is not the way to make a resolution. He make a resolution to stop smoking. And he was at a friend's house and he tried to bum a cigarette off a friend. He was like, "You just told me that you made a resolution to stop smoking. Now you're trying to bum a cigarette." He said, "Why are you doing that?" He says, "Well, I'm in phase one of stopping smoking." He said, "Phase one? What's phase one?" He says, "Phase one is that I stop buying cigarettes. And then I move on from there." Okay. That's not exactly the way to make a resolution, but I guess progress is good, but he's trying to make progress. New Year's, of course, is a very popular day for being engaged. You're going to get a lot of the greatest average of engagements take place today. Not Valentine's, not birthdays, not Christmas, not some other, I don't know what other occasion would be more important, but New Year's is the time. And if you think about it, I mean, if it's close to this time, you might as well wait to New Year's because it's that new start. It's that fresh start. My wife Valerie has a wedding planning business that usually is only busy during the summers, destination weddings. They want to come and get married on the beach. She had one, though, that booked and got married at 7 o'clock this morning. And of course, you know what the weather was like 7 o'clock this morning. I mean, you couldn't see me and I couldn't see you from where you were sitting. It was a mess. And yesterday, if you were here, we had an incredibly gorgeous day. And she calls the girl and says, "Don't you want to go? We can go out to the beach right now. It's beautiful. There's no wind. You can do this." No, she wanted it on this morning. Why? Because the weather's going to be better? No, because New Year's. New start. And we're into new stuff, aren't we? I mean, I prefer new over old, don't you? And here's what you need to know and what I want to preach to you about this morning. God is a God who's really into the new. He really is. You're in Colossians and you hold your place there. But look at what he says here in Revelation, which is where our study has been for a long time. Revelation 21, he says this, "He who sits on the throne," this is John writing, "says, Behold, I am making," mark it carefully, "all things new." Absolutely nothing that you know of or don't know of is going to remain the way it is. It's not going to be refurbished. It's not going to be replenished. Not going to be resuscitated. God doesn't do those things. It's going to be made brand spanking new. God's going to fix it all. And it's not just a fix. It's a remaking of all of it. All things, he says, I'm going to make new. And then he adds this for the emphasis. And I'm not exactly sure why, because it's not like God doesn't, what he says isn't faithful and true. But he adds this emphasis. Right, for these words are faithful and true. He's trying to really communicate to this. I am going to make it, all of it new. All of it. You, me, the planet, the stars, the universe, every plant, every animal, nothing's going to stay the way it is. He's going to make it all new. He's really in verse in Revelation. Of course, Revelation is talking about the end times. It's talking about things yet to be, things that are yet to come. And that's important that we understand it that way. But it would be a mistake to read this verse and say that God isn't going to make anything new until then. That isn't true. What it is actually saying, if we read our Bibles correctly, is that he's going to finish the process of making things new, a process, by the way, that he began long before even today. In fact, sitting in this room is a lot of God's already new stuff. You, if you are in Christ, you are, according to the Scriptures, a new creation. I, because of what Christ has done in my life, I'm a part of his new stuff. Are you a part of God's new stuff? God is making people brand new on the inside. A newness that never wears off. You know what new is, right? New is that you got it today. Tomorrow it's... You drive a car off the parking lot today, what is it tomorrow? No, it's pre-owned. You're not a used car salesman. It's pre-owned. It loses about $3,000 in value. It truly does, because now the papers have been signed over to you and you drove it off the parking lot. It immediately loses its value, and that's what happens. Nothing stays new. Well, the new stuff that God makes never gets old. See, we've never seen this kind of new stuff. New is I got it last Sunday. This Sunday it's old. That's new. That's all the new that we know. The new that God makes is the stuff that's new today and tomorrow and the next day and the next and the next and the next century and the next eternity and the next forever. That's the kind of new that God makes. That's the kind of new that's being spoken of. It's going to do. Not refurbished, not replenished, not resuscitated. God makes new things. He makes new things. Look at what this verse says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ. Now, let me just point this out to you. The preposition is extremely important. Any man is in Christ. Not near Christ. Not around Christ. Not about Christ. I mean, you can add a whole lot of prepositions in there that will not be accurate. If any man is in Christ, that means you must have placed your faith on him. It's not good enough to come to church. You're coming to church because God expects you to do that, and you come to church because that's going to get you into heaven. Wrong. Somebody needs to tell you. You have to be in Christ. If you enter eternity in anything else, you're going to be in your sin, and you're going to be in forever trouble. So you need to be in Christ. In Christ means you place your faith on him. You place your faith that what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago is all that you need. It's totally sufficient. You don't ever have to have another good thought, another good deed to add to what Christ did on the cross. You trust him completely. Have you done that? You need to get that done today if you haven't. But if you have done that, you are in Christ, and notice what it says. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, not gonna bitch. It's a permanent point, a lasting point. From the point that you accept Christ until today, until forever, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I would say again, the Greek is very emphatic. Forever. Forever. It's not new today and old tomorrow. It's new today and tomorrow and the next and the next and the next and the next forever and ever. This is the kind of new that God makes. This is the kind of new that he's done in Christ Jesus. This is what he offers. I mean, what would it be like? Think about it. If we could just snap our fingers and get a blank slate. Snap our fingers and get it all erased and get it all undone and get all a fresh start over again. Well, listen, you don't have to snap your fingers. Turn yourself over to Christ. Trust him. And you get a permanent new. A permanent new. There is no other offer out there like that. There is not another one. I read a story about a ministry in India that was ministering to little girls who had a particular name. One of the more popular names, unfortunately, in India for a little girl anymore is the name Nakusa. That doesn't sound bad to you. It doesn't sound bad to me. It's because we don't speak Hindi. Know that they named that little girl Unwanted. That's what they named her. They wanted a son. They got a daughter. And so they gave her a name. And it's one of the more popular names because, of course, there's a population crisis. They got a lot of kids in India. A lot of births going on there. And so they don't want to have too many kids. In fact, they're regulated as how many kids they have. And so, of course, if you can't have a kid, you want to have a son. I can't imagine why a son would be better than a daughter. There's times I've really liked my daughters better than my son. But nonetheless, my mother only had two boys, and she never knew the difference. But they want boys. If they don't get a boy, sometimes because of their religion and because of the darkness of their spiritual lives over there, they'll name a girl Unwanted. And so every time she's called by her parents, she's called Unwanted. And every time she's called by her teachers, she's called Unwanted. And every time she's called by her friends, she's called Unwanted. Every time her name is called in any circumstance, she hears the words. They hear the words in the Hindi language, Unwanted. And so this ministry, reaching out to these girls, collected about 300 of these girls with the same name. And they held a name change ceremony. They petitioned the government, Indian government. They got the legal right to change these girls' names, and they allowed the girls to write their own names however they wanted to. And they wrote, you know, some, you know, beautiful names, successful, powerful, strong, lots of names. Anything but, of course, anything but Unwanted. And they just spoke about how great it was to see these girls have their name changed. Well, listen, God offers you something better. Better. You were Unwanted. In fact, it says in the Scriptures, you are an enemy of God. Things together. No, it says you're an enemy of God. You're totally unacceptable to Him as long as you're in your sin. But when you come to Christ and you get in Christ, you go from that which is an enemy of God to a child of God. That which is unacceptable to being a guaranteed home in heaven and a brand new life. God has done that for us. God has done that in His Son, Jesus Christ. Christianity, and I should say this, as it is lined out in the Scriptures, I would say that very carefully because there's a whole lot going on out there that's called Christianity that ain't. I mean, you can call it whatever you want to, but if it's not as it is lined out in the Scriptures, it's not Christianity. But I need to be very specific, therefore, and say Christianity as it is lined out in the Scriptures is not like any other religion. All other religions, and I mean categorically so, offer you a different set of rules. They offer you a refurbishment, a replenishment, a resuscitation, maybe. They offer you turning over a new leaf, but you turn over the new leaf on the old you. The same old you. And it's the you about the whole process that is the problem. And so you can change everything else. Circumstances and everything, but you leave the old you in there. Thing is still rotten. Christianity may not necessarily change, and neither can these religions. New you in the same circumstances makes a totally different thing. A totally different situation. Christianity is new, and it's not all the difference. Brand new, never get old, never change. Nothing may outwardly change on me, but inwardly, I'm brand new. And I want us to look this morning. I don't know if you've made a resolution yet, but I would like to, as the pastor of this church, recommend a resolution, some resolutions for this church this morning. I want to look at what it means very briefly here for us to have a new life, and then also to consider how we maintain that new life. Sometimes we say, well, I have this new life in Christ, but it doesn't feel new. Well, I would say because you haven't taken the old clothes off yet. Take a look with me here at Colossians chapter 3. Look down at verse 5. Making some recommendations here, Paul is to the Corinthian church, the Colossian church, and I'm making these same to you. Therefore, he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them once you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Literally, put them off. It's like the newness. Take it off. Take it off and let the real you that's been made in Christ Jesus come through. But it's not until you take this stuff off that the new is going to be fully realized. Take off, he says. Put aside, he says, anger, wrath. I think that would be a good resolution, don't you? I'm not doing that this year. That's a good resolution. malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside your old self with its evil desires and have put on the new. Notice it's a laying aside, a taking off, and a putting on. Like I said, if it doesn't feel new, it's because you're wearing the wrong stuff. You've got a new you with old clothes. Take them off. Put the new stuff on. And I would say also this, you have the power to do it. Another thing Christianity offers that no other religion offers. They give you new rules, they don't give you power to do anything. I don't need new rules, I need help. I'm the problem. Yeah, yeah, you are. That's what Christianity offers. New you, able to take these new commands and work them. They'll work. You have the power to do these things, to put off and to put on the right things. Put on the new you, as he says here. Look at verse 12. Here's what you put on. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on here. Notice, put off, and now you're putting on a heart of kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Freak thing to do. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, let us, as the Lord forgave you, you also these things put on. There's that clothing again. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You've got to have this stuff. I said, you don't feel like it's new. It's because you're wearing the old stuff. Take the old stuff off. Put the right stuff back on. And then what he's going to give us here, down in verses 15 and following, is how to keep this new on a shine. Sometimes we have the new stuff on, but we let the new stuff get tarnished. And here's how you keep it shined up. Notice what he says down here in verse 15. He says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." That's an excellent, excellent New Year's resolution. I cannot promise you what this year is going to be for you. I cannot promise you that you and I are going to live through this next year. Cannot do it. Cannot promise you, I wish we could, that things are going to go well this year. They may not. But I can promise you this. You have the power and the responsibility to let the peace of Christ reign in you. Circumstances come and go. Nothing we can do about them. Nothing we can change about them. In many cases, they're out of our control. One of the most frustrating things is to do everything that you know to do right and still the circumstances are bad. There's nothing you can do about those things. Don't worry about those. As it says here, reign in your heart. Let the peace of Christ. Well, I don't have the peace of Christ. Be a little harsh to you? Can I? It's because you don't want it. Being honest with you, you have other options that you're still playing and not surrendering everything to Christ. And I'm sorry, ma'am, to put it to you that way, sir, but it's the honest truth. The peace of Christ is available. Why would he command you to do something that you cannot do? No, let it happen. Notice, you're just not letting it. Let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Well, there you go from Pastor Bill. Let that happen to you this year. I'd highly recommend it to you. Things will go a lot better. Things may not get any better, but things, as far as the way you're handling things, will be a lot better. You will be a lot better. That newness that you have, guaranteed, it's there. It'll be realized. It's terrible to have stuff and not actually have it realized in my life. You mean I had all this stuff available to me and I'm not walking in it? It makes me mad. Ought to make you mad. No, you've got this new stuff. Now, use it. Work it. Let the peace of Christ, he says, reign in your hearts. And the second thing, notice what he says here. Let the word of Christ, verse 16, richly dwell. Great, great New Year's resolution. Read the Bible through this year. Read it through a couple of times this year. Some of you are extremely smart. One time a year is not enough. You can do more. Read it. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. How are you going to keep this new going if you don't keep the song singing with thankfulness in your heart to God? And here's the third resolution, recommendation. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Do that this year. Whatever you do this year in word or deed, whatever it is, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you can't do it in His name, don't. If you can't commit it to Him and you can't ask Him to bless it, well then you got your answer. You shouldn't be doing that. Shouldn't be going over there. Shouldn't be seeing this. Shouldn't be saying that. Shouldn't be that kind of person. Don't do it. If you can't give it to him, if you can't ask him to bless it, then don't do it. Simple rule of thumb. So let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Let the word of Christ flow over you. And let everything that you do be committed to him. See, that's the way the newness that God has given to us has to be maintained. It's new. It's in there. But sometimes, yeah, we're new. 100% it's mine. It's ours. We let it get tarnished. It doesn't feel new because we've allowed it to get tarnished. But even in all this newness, God gives us a chance to start over again, doesn't he? Gives us a chance. Gives us an opportunity. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just. Right then and there. To forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't you want a new start? Don't you want to do it right? Don't you want a clean slate with God? Don't you want it all clear and all right now? I do. I do. I hope you do too. You confess your sins. He's faithful. He can be depended upon. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's the letting the new you that has been there all along be what he or she is supposed to be. Letting it work and working it. I'm certain that many of you would recognize the name Vincent van Gogh. And if I said that name, you think of paintings, and you think of some pretty weird paintings in some cases. You probably think, if you know much about him, of a person who was very troubled, and that would be true. A man who had a very difficult life and of his own making, and who ended his life very early, unfortunately, because of his emotional problems. What you may not know about Vincent van Gogh is that he was the son of a Dutch Reformed pastor who was also the son of a Dutch Reformed pastor. His grandfather, his father, his brother was a Dutch Reformed pastor. He was a Dutch Reformed minister and missionary. Did you know that about Vincent van Gogh? You didn't know he was a Christian, did you? Christian that had a rough life. Can Christians have a bad time? Yeah, they can. Christians can make it really bad for themselves. Christians can do stupid stuff. Christians get really messed up, even as far as getting institutionalized like Van Gogh was. Another thing you may not know about Van Gogh is that when he started painting, if you know much about his paintings, you look at his early paintings, they're all dark. They're all dismal. They're all earth tones. They're all sad and dreary and not exciting and not a painting you would hang in your kitchen, let's just simply say. It's just not something bright and cheery in any way. But as time goes by and as his paintings progress, he didn't get necessarily better. In fact, maybe arguably a little bit worse with his problems and physical problems that he had. But his painting changed. In particular, they changed in color. His early paintings had almost all earth tones. His later paintings were almost exclusively shades of yellow. And, of course, the people who think they know what they're talking about, tongue-in-cheek, say that it was the influence of the impressionistic influence. Of course, he lived after the impressionist artists and all these things. It was this influence and that influence. But if you read his letters that he wrote to his brother, who was basically the closest person to him, it was his progress reflected in his paintings, his progress as he came back to Christ. Early life in Christ, fell away from Christ, and as he came back, his paintings changed color, particularly in yellow. One of his last paintings he made was the only biblical-based painting that he made. It was called the Resurrection of Lazarus. You may be familiar with it. I think it sold for like $53 million. But he painted this painting, and it's a beautiful painting. It was based on something, an etching of Rembrandt's, as I understand it. But in that painting, you see Lazarus resurrected, and he's almost totally in the shades of yellow of some kind, super bright. But the face on Lazarus as he's coming out of the tomb, guess whose face it is? It's Vincent van Gogh's. He painted his face on there. He's well known for doing self-portraits, but this was one of his final paintings, and he did it as a message just to himself to say, this is where I've come to. God has given me a fresh start. God's given me a new life. God's given me hope again. It's bright again. It's cheerful again. Guys, listen, you and I have an opportunity, whether metaphorically or literally, to change the shade of our lives. We do. The shade that's in you, listen, is as bright as it can possibly be. What's on the outside may be really dark, and I know how that is. And I know sometimes it's very difficult to get any other way, but I'm telling you, what's on the inside is what you need to get out. What's on the inside can come out, and you have the power and the authority, and let me say this, and the responsibility to let that shine. And the responsibility to let that more messed up people than you, who had a lot more problems than you have and went through a lot worse stuff than you did. Read the Bible. And these people found the power because it's in them, because of what Christ did in them. Are you saying that Christ and the power and what he did on the cross is not sufficient to overcome your stuff? Excuse me? I don't think so. No, you have that power and the responsibility to be that kind of person this year. Let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Do everything that you do. Do everything that you do in his name, committing yourself to him. And you will find it will be a new year for you. It really will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the newness that you placed in us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I think that it's new and it doesn't get old. It is not like anything new in this world. It stays new. It is always new. We may not be living new today. We may not be acting like we're new people. But it's not your fault. It's not because it's what you did for us is insufficient. Lord, I pray we would take these tools, these opportunities, these abilities, these obligations that you've given to us to let that new shine out. And I pray that it would shine out this year. Maybe like it never has. Lord, I ask you right now to shine out in me new and afresh, Lord, like you never have before this year. You'd be honored through my life, that your peace would dwell, your word would dwell, that everything that I do would truly be done in your name. Lord, I pray that we could all pray that prayer this morning. Thank you for making us new. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.